Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
He's our ears and eyes of the NHL draft. Just landed in the Pacific Northwest in Vancouver. Lance Lasowski, the Buffalo News. Good with his time as always. Good to have one of our regulars in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. How are you, Lance?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Lance, always appreciate your time. What are the chances that the Sabres make a trade 7-31? And I'm just trying to weigh this out in my mind because either 7 or 31, the odds, Lance, would be against either of those players actually helping out Buffalo this coming season.
I don't think you trade 7. This top 10, the prospects that are going to be available to them, it's too much, I think. The haul would have to be pretty massive. I think any team that trades a top 10 pick this year, this draft is unlike many of the others we've seen in recent memory. 31 is a very good possibility. But the tricky thing here, guys, is that the salary cap isn't set yet. And the word is that teams won't know for certain what the salary cap is until potentially Saturday, which is really difficult when trying to decide what trades you make, what salary needs to be moved. And this doesn't necessarily affect the Sabres directly since they do have a little bit more cap space. But when you're looking at other teams around the league, whether it be Vegas, there might be a hold up here in terms of the trade. So we'll see what happens. But I think that, you know, of course, you're in Ristolainen's name and just, I'm hearing that they want to move a defenseman, which makes sense. The question is, which one are they going to move? And, you know, with some of the news, you know, with what I reported earlier today about Gergensen's and Larson being back, it makes me think that there's going to be some movement in the forward group, too. So we'll have to see.
What? You're kidding me that they don't have the caps. They may not have it set till Saturday. If I'm an NHL GM, I'd be raising Kane right now.
Yeah. I mean, I know the difference is probably $1 to $2 million, but that can make a big difference when you're looking at some of these teams that are in a crunch situation. You know, I mentioned Vegas, San Jose is really trying to scramble to kind of get their situation in order. So it's tough sledding right now. And this is obviously, there's a lot of talk. You know, you've heard it repeatedly throughout the week that this is probably one of the busiest times we've had in recent memory because it's a lot of teams that need to move players, open up space. So I still think there's going to be some moves that are going to be done, and I think the Sabres can be involved in that, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Lance, let's touch on what you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, the offers that were extended, the qualifying offers that were extended to Zemgus, Gergensen, and Johan Larson. I think a lot of people might think, well, that means that they're back next year. What are they doing? Neither one of those. All right, calm down. What does it exactly mean with these qualifying offers being extended to these restricted free agents?
You keep bargaining rights for them. They're not going to unrestricted free agency, so you're not going to lose them for nothing. That said, I don't think that the Sabres did this to just trade both players. I think there is genuine interest in bringing both of them back. I'm told that talks will probably continue this week and into next week with both players, so we'll see what happens. It doesn't surprise me. Now that we've heard Ralph Kruger speak in his press conference, he said that he wants grit. He wants some toughness on this team. That's a quality I think Gergensen brings. I'm a little surprised by Larson. This is a guy that I would try to move him. I'd bring back Gergensen, move Larson, open up a spot on your fourth line. It's really tough to imagine both those guys being on the team next year. As much as their skill sets might be a fit for what Kruger wants to do, they need to bring some fresh blood in. There's no question about that. They need some guys who can score goals in the third and fourth line. So you don't really want to weigh yourself down with two of those players. But I do like Gergensen. I think the Gergensen, for the right price, could be a guy who could help next season.
Lance Lasowski, Buffalo News, our guest here in the sports bar. Number 7, you said highly unlikely that my words on that, it's not likely that the Buffalo Sabres will move the number 7 pick. Who might be some names here? And would these be any possibility these guys could be in Rochester coming up in the fall, Lance?
If you see it, it's not going to be in the fall. It'll be in the spring, much like Casey Middlestad. He didn't go to Rochester, but signed his entry-level deal towards the end of the college season. So Trevor Zegras has to be at the top of the Sabres list right now. Playmaking center, he's everything that they're sort of looking for in a player. But as Zegras is gone, which is a good possibility, there's a lot of really good options for the Sabres here, whether it be Cole Caulfield, or if you can get, I even like Matthew Boldy, who's been a guy who's a little bit been overlooked or maybe not talked about as much during this process. So Podkolzin, the Russian winger, is sort of a wild card here. I mean, he's got to return to Russia for two more years, but the Sabres being where they are, can they afford to wait 2 years? I don't know. If they like this kid enough, and a lot of teams have had him ranked probably the third best player in this draft, do you take a flyer on him at seven? I don't know if Bottle's in a position to do that, but if they love him enough, nothing would surprise me at this point.
He's Lance Lisowski covering the Buffalo Sabres for the Buffalo News. Good with his time joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Lance, you know, we're talking about who the Sabres could be selecting this weekend, and you know, odds are it's not going to be somebody that can make an impact immediately, but it further, you know, goes towards Jason Botterill's mantra from day one, which is development. We're going to develop. We had Randy Sexton on with us earlier this week. He reinforced, hey, we're about development within this organization. I sure feel like I'm seeing and hearing a lot of Sabres fans that are impatient right now, that really, after the way the last season ended, don't want to hear anything about development, and they want to know basically that the team is going to win and win now. So I guess, what balance do the Sabres need to find? You've got a brand new head coach, one who's supposedly a great communicator. Does it make more sense to shake things up and try to get players that can help you win now? Or do you take the more cautious, steady, developmental approach and see if you can get your new head coach to make a locker room full of underachievers last year overachievers this coming season?
I think you're going to see a mix of both. Now, I think you're going to see Jason Botterill make a trade, much like he did for Brandon Montour, giving up some of these you know, draft picks or prospects in order to land a younger player who's closer to restricted free agency as opposed to unrestricted free agency. Get a second line center, get a second line winger, somebody who can help that group. But at the same time, I think they're really going to try to give Ralph Cougar an opportunity to assess this team and see what he has. Okay, what players can he get more out of? I think Jurgensen's the guy that he could get more out of. I think there's a few different players on the roster. Now, I understand why there's a lot of impatience with the fan base. Who can blame them? It's been 8 years, the longest drought in the NHL, the passionate hockey fan base. The market's one of the best in the country, of course, but look at the situation that Randy Sexton and Jason Botterill inherited. The prospect pool was depleted. Now you're starting to see Victor Olofsson is finally starting to develop, and he should be ready for the NHL next season. It's a process, and as much as it's really difficult for fans to kind of swallow that pill, it's going to take some time. And I think that they can really help out and really have a chance of competing if they add a second-line center, and that's something I don't think Botterill is going to hesitate to do, but he is trying to find that balance, right? You don't want to try to expedite the rebuild the way that Murray did in terms of going and getting Evander Kane when the Sabres weren't quite ready to compete yet. I think they're further along right now than they were, you know, back in 2015. So now this is a really good time probably to get that next piece and start the build. Hope that Casey Middlestad takes the next step. I hope that Tage Thompson takes the next step.
Lance Lisowski, Buffalo News, our guest for fans that are going to watch the award ceremony tonight. I don't know if Robin Leonard will be in attendance, but he is nominated, and it kind of leads to the next question. I mean, looking forward to the goaltending here, we had assistant GM Randy Sexton on with us Monday, and he said, yeah, the goaltending situation in the organization is being evaluated, whether that's up in Buffalo, whether that's bringing back Wedgwood in Rochester. Lance, how would you describe right now the state of the goaltending situation in the Sabres organization?
It's in flux, and as much as I'm sure, and I know that Randy Sexton and the entire organization is excited about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, goaltenders, their development curve can be very volatile. Guys who start really strong in those 19, 20 years old can often decline, and it doesn't help that Luukkonen had that hip surgery. So that's going to prevent him from competing in development camp. He's going to miss the start of the season, so they need to bring a proven goalie to Rochester to pair with Luukkonen next season, whether that be Wedgwood or somebody else. And in terms of the NHL, I think they have to kind of keep all options open at this point. I like Carter Hutton. I like Linus Allmark. But if you can upgrade that position for somebody on a short-term deal, maybe as a bridge option, why not take a flyer there? Why not kind of roll the dice and try to upgrade if there's an option out there? I think it's interesting that it sounds like Peter Mrazek from Carolina is going to be available. It doesn't sound like the Hurricanes are going to want to sign him, but is he going to be willing to take the sort of contract the Sabres want to give? Because remember, Mike Bales, the new goaltending coach, worked with Mrazek in Carolina. So it's all about lining up here. I think they're really keeping their options open, which makes sense with the way that Carter Hutton was a little bit unpredictable. His play was a little up and down last season. Of course, the same with Linus Allmark.
Lance, you know, we look at what Jason Bottrell was able to do in acquiring Jeff Skinner for essentially a box of envelopes prior to last season. What led to that kind of deal happening for the Buffalo Sabres? How rare is a deal like that to happen in the NHL? And you know, for all the criticism we give Jason Bottrell because of recency, of the recent success of Ryan O'Reilly, for as much criticism as we levy his way for that trade, you know, we did give him a lot of praise for that Skinner deal. Are we looking at, you know, something like that happening potentially again this offseason? How rare are deals like that where it just feels like completely one side and you end up with a player that scored 40 goals for you?
It is rare when you have a conservative general manager, and that's exactly the approach that Jason Bottrell is taking. He's not Jim Rutherford. He's not some of these other GMs out there who are just going to throw money and draft picks and prospects at a problem to try to upgrade the interim. He was able to trade Ryan O'Reilly for various reasons to kind of get enough draft picks to where he felt comfortable to get a player like Jeff Skinner. Now, does he feel comfortable to make a similar move this offseason? I'm a little unsure of that. I think that they're a little weary of just automatically pushing prospects out the door and pushing more draft picks out the door after they got rid of Gouley. And, of course, they traded the draft capital to get Skinner. So it's going to be interesting. How do you strike that balance? You know, it looks like and it sounds like they're trying to move an NHL defenseman to open up a spot, maybe try to get an upgrade without giving up some of those draft picks and prospects. It's rare to hit on a trade the way that, let's face it, the Sabres did and the Blues did when it comes to O'Reilly and Skinner. So I don't think the Sabres are going to be big players in free agency. The way they're going to upgrade their team is going to be through trades. It's going to be Bottrell's, I think, exploring a lot of options right now. So it's got to be a second-line center, though. I think that's a spot they have to upgrade if they really want to be taken seriously in that division next season.
Lance Lesowski, the Buffalo News, who just landed in Vancouver. Lance, is Alex Nylander still listed as day-to-day? but seriously, though, I mean, when Sabre fans love to talk about trading Ristolainen, but if you're trying to figure out, okay, who might another organization value, and, well, this wasn't Bottrell's guy to begin with, or am I reading too much into this that they do like Nylander when he came up to Buffalo for the time? What are your thoughts on Alex Nylander?
I think they like him. I think there's a lot to like there when you look at his skill set, but there's got to be a certain amount of frustration, right, with the injuries, with, let's face it, he was sort of invisible at times down in Rochester. That's a guy with his skill set. He should have dominated. He really should have dominated. Is it just a certain situation? Does he need to change the scenery? I don't know. And I don't know really what his draft stock would, or his, what his trade value would be at this point. What do other teams think of Alex Nylander? Do you sell low on him and maybe get a similar player who needs to change the scenery? I mean, there's a few out there that could be options. I'm not sure, but I think that at this point with where he's at, you almost just have to stick him in the NHL and just sort of live and die by his mistakes and just sort of live with it. Are the Sabres in a position to do that? Can they give him a top six role right now? I'm not so sure that's the case.
Lance, you're our ears and eyes there at the NHL draft. I've never been to an NHL draft. Gene, I don't know if you've covered one in the past or not, but I'm just curious. What's the general vibe? What's the you know, paint a picture for us. You're in Vancouver, you know, for those of us who've never traveled to the Pacific Northwest, you know, paint a picture of what's going on there at the NHL draft heading into Friday night.
A lot of team employees are just sort of milling around. I know there's meetings going on. There's still, of course, there's a lot going on still in Vegas with the awards tonight. The Board of Governors met earlier today. Of course, they announced the draft is going to be held in Montreal next year. So this is a big time. It really is, because there's a lot of teams that are just exploring all possibilities. There's a lot of players that are said to be available via trade. There's a lot of moving parts here. And there's teams that want to move up, who don't own a first-round pick, who want to get back into the first round. There's teams that are, you know, owning that mid-first-round pick who are trying to trade back to see if they can take advantage, because this first round is one of the better ones we've had in a while, and you're hearing a lot of buzz about teams want to acquire more draft picks to try to get more prospects to take advantage of this sort of year, because you're not always going to have this. So I'm expecting that it's been sort of quiet here, of course, today and a little bit yesterday, but I think we're going to have a lot of activity pick up here as the start moves forward.
Lance, if I could ask for your opinion on this, it was a topic we had on Monday. We could lay out all these great Sabre topics between free agency and the trade, and who might be on the block, and the new head coach, and the draft, not to mention. Yet, on social media, sometimes it just feels like the Saber fan base cares more about royal blue against navy blue. Lance, where I come down on this, I don't care what color you wear. Whatever color you win in, that will look good. You've covered, well, you've worked in many different markets. My opinion, I think this is a Buffalo thing. I think the Buffalo fan base, for whatever reason, and maybe it's all this losing, maybe it is, but does the Buffalo fan base care more about their team's uniforms than, say, in other places?
I mean, it certainly seems that way, and I think you're right. I think losing has something to do with it. That was such a bright time for the city when they had those, you know, the royal blue, right? And the same could be said for the black and red. Look how great the team played when they were in black and red, as much as people hated it at the time. So, or when the change was first made. It's interesting. I'm not one of those people who gets really riled up about jerseys. It's one of those things where I just want to kind of get it announced, get it out of the way, and move to the actual hockey part of it. But at some point, you think that the team would listen to the fan base. I know there's a lot that goes into it, the marketing. They've kind of already rebranded here to have this new, you know, the Navy in play. But you got to play it. You got to sort of buy goodwill with the fans at some point. I totally see the Sabres making the change one day down the road. Who knows when?
Lance, you mentioned the black and red. We'd be crazy if we didn't mention 20 years ago today, no goal. You're a youngish guy. I mean, I don't know what your memory of no goal in 1999 was, but you know, I'm curious if you can share any kind of insight stories or any memories that you have from that night.
I remember thinking it was no goal. I can tell you that. No, the one thing I remember about that era of the Sabres, I mean, I grew up in Ohio, but it was always fun watching them in the playoffs. You know, obviously Hasek, but that year was a pretty special year, that run that they had. And you keep hearing about other years that the Sabres had, you know, different runs they had in the playoffs, but that's the one, I mean, that always sticks out to me. They should have, I mean, the cup was theirs, you know, and I think that in Buffalo, this fan base, they love to reflect on, of course, the good times and even some of the bad, such as, you know, no goal, but it just goes to show you. I mean, if once they get back to the playoffs, and it's going to happen at some point, I just can't imagine what that city's going to be like.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome, Lance. I don't know what year that's going to happen, though. So
probably a couple.
Might take a while. Lance, yeah. What do you got working on for the news? Obviously, they're in Vancouver, so we can expect in-depth draft coverage from you and your teammates.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot coming down. Tomorrow, I know that they're having all the prospects available. There's going to be a lot of stuff. I know the GM meetings are going to be going on, and I think there's going to be a trade. It's just one of those feelings you kind of have when you talk to people that this, is, of course, is going to be the time that Botterill doesn't have to really worry about the cap difference, $1 million, $2 million. And, of course, Ristolainen could be in play. You heard Zach Bogosian's name get thrown out there with what sort of sounded like an erroneous report, but nothing would surprise me at this point. So we'll see.
Certainly follow him on Twitter, L. Lisowski, spelled L-Y-S-O-W-S-K-I. Lance Lisowski, Buffalo News. I'll enjoy covering the draft. Lance, we always appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
Be good, Lance. Lance Lisowski joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Always good to hear from one of our regulars. Our ears and eyes at the NHL draft in Vancouver. That was outstanding, as always.
You brought up 20 years ago. Yeah, that was the no goal. Although, was it 20 years ago, the game today, on because that, got to point this out, that game went over into 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So, technically, it would be tomorrow was when it actually happened. I covered that game. And here's what I remember, and this is funny how 20 years changes in technology so much. You know what we knew about no goal at the time? Nothing. Even people reporting the game. If you've ever been lucky enough to go into the Sabre press box, there's only one elevator, okay? So everybody has to kind of wait. And so most of the media stuck around. The fans there stuck around to watch the cup presentation. It's something you may see once in a lifetime, right? So we're all waiting after the cup presentation, after Dallas skates around to get on the elevator. And that's when ESPN had the broadcast back then. And it was Gary Thorne. So Gary Thorne comes on. He's like, well, I hate to sign off the broadcast like this, but Buffalo fans, this goal should have never happened. And we see it. And I remember the late Jim Kelly was there. The Buffalo Sabres reporter, and everybody is looking at each other. No one had realized, not even the Buffalo media, at that point. The cup was already handed out. So by the time the elevator comes down, everybody marches over. It was just an angry kind of media crew from the Buffalo fan base. Now, Steve Hausman tells a different story. House was actually there that night covering the game as well. And he could probably tell it better than I could. But according to House, now, remember, I told you that Dallas had already been awarded the cup. Gary Bettman comes off the ice. One of Bettman's henchmen comes up to him, and House is standing right next to him. Gary, we have to leave. We have to leave now. Out the back door, Gary Bettman went. So says Steve Hausman. That was, typical Bettman at that point, not ready to answer questions about, you know, the rule change. And the rule at that point was you can't have the skate in the crease. So you had, you had an angry Lindy Ruff. You had Buffalo players that were confused. And then right down the hallway a little bit there, you had the smell of cigars and everything else. Just a crazy scene of hangers-on and whatnot in the Dallas locker room 20 years ago today.
I love story time with Gene Battaglia. Good stuff. 20 years ago, no goal.
And Gary Bettman was a weasel.
And he even knew it. Yeah, he knew it. They had to get out of there. We got to get out of here. Angry mob. More takes on the way. I'll drink to that is coming up next in the sports bar. A little take space. Takes on tap. You're always welcome to join us at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. I think I found a professional athlete, a former professional athlete, more thirsty than O.J. Simpson.
That's not possible.
I think I found
him. No.
When I mention his name, you might actually say, oh, yeah, he's pretty thirsty.
Okay, like O.J. say, this is what I want to do with my fitness team. What do you think? Okay, that is that's King Thirst. We're going to talk a little NBA here, too, with the draft tomorrow night on ESPN Rochester. I don't understand what the Lakers are doing. This is a foolish plan. But then again, there's an NFL team that acts much like the Los Angeles Lakers. 2013 may seem like yesterday. It's a long time ago. It's time we stop giving this guy second chances.
Takes. Mm-hmm. Takes on tap next. I'll drink to that. You're in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.